I cannot tell you what an honor it is to be here. To be given the blessed privilege to be able to preach the gospel. I pray that God bless these services. I thank God for this congregation. I look around and I see the grace of God. And for that I'm thankful. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord was speaking one day, and the scripture records that in Matthew 19, verse 13 to 15, if you want to turn there and just look at it, Matthew 19, 13, the scripture declares this concerning God Almighty speaking. Now, this is the Lord speaking. This is God speaking. God in human flesh said these words. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Almighty God was pleased to allow little children to come to him. And he put his hands on them, touched them. And he said, Don't forbid these to come. Don't forbid these to come to me. As I read that passage of Scripture in Matthew 19, and I began to think on the verse of Scripture in Matthew 11, 28, telling sinners, "Come unto me. Come unto me." I want to, just for a few minutes, I want to just attempt, pray God would bless the service, and preach the gospel to little children. To you children, I want to try to just talk to the kids. And the adults that would long to hear the gospel simply stated, me. I just want to hear it. I just want to hear it plainly. Don't try to get too high. Use big words. Just, I want to talk to the children. Now listen. Here's our situation. That means this is where we're at. Everybody that's born into this world is born in trouble. We're born in trouble. what happened when the first man and woman was in the Garden of Eden, God told the man, Adam. He said, of every tree of the garden, we're in a garden, thou mayest freely eat. You can eat every bit of this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's one tree that you cannot eat of. You cannot eat of that. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God forbid man to eat of one tree. And man, with his eyes wide open, disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, the scripture says that he died inside. He didn't die immediately outside. He still walked around, but inside he died spiritually. He had no love then for God. It was taken away, his spiritual life. He had no hunger to be with God. He had no desire. And man now comes forth when he's born, when all of us are born, and we come and there's no interest. We hear the truth. Mom and Dad bring you to church, but you find that there's times that you just, which is all the time until the Lord does something for us, there's no interest. I hear what's being said, but I just, it doesn't mean anything to me. The situation that we're in is that we're lost. That's what the scripture. We're left to ourselves, and the sad part is that we don't care. We want to hide. If we never did come to church again, it'd be okay. That's how we think. Now that's kind of hard to admit, but that's the way we are. We have no interest. And the thing is, being born in trouble, that's what Job 5:7 says. Without the Lord, we can't do anything. But the best thing that your parents could do for you is to bring you and let you listen. Just listen. To hear the glorious message of the gospel. This is our plight. We're born in trouble, but mankind is not without a hope. We have a hope. Listen to this verse of scripture, Micah 7:18. Listen to this question. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? That means lifts it up and bears it away. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Now who is a God like the God of heaven? God Almighty has just revealed in that scripture that he passes by, he's pleased to pass by the remnant of his heritage. The remnant, that means the parts really that are not even considered worthy. I've said this, I remember as a child, I'd grow up watching my mama sew. And she'd get a pattern and she'd buy so much yardage and she'd put a pattern down. She's going to make a dress. And I mean, that thing was made to where if you got like so many yards, you know, 1 7/8 yards. And the remnants, after you laid that pattern on there, the remnants was just the stuff, just a few little strings that were left over, the stuff that wasn't really worth anything. I mean, the only thing it's worth is throw it away. The remnants. God has a remnant. And it's a remnant of people that the world considers nothing. They're good for nothing in themselves. That's true. But God Almighty has been pleased to show mercy to the remnant of His heritage. God has a people. Now this is something I need to remember. God is going to show mercy to His people. But God is just. God is just. I've got two of my children here, some of my grandchildren, but especially my children. Gabe and Sarah are here. And I can tell you, just if you ask them when they were growing up, if I told them, now if you disobey me, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to whip you. And when they did disobey me, there was no ifs whether they would. They did. And when they did, I did just exactly what I told them I was going to do. They knew just exactly how many licks they were going to get. And then after I'd whip them, I'd put them on my knee. I love them, kiss them, tell them I love them. But they knew, if you disobey me. Now listen, man has disobeyed God. And God is just. What does that mean? He's fair. God is fair. He's a just God. Now, here's the question that we've got. Since God is just and He's going to punish sin, how can God be just and show mercy, can pass by the transgression of His people? How can God do that? Well, here's the glorious truth of the gospel. Almighty God, that is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There's one God set forth in three persons, but He's one God. Now here's the amazing thing. I can't explain that. I can't explain Father, Son, and Spirit, one God. But I believe it, because God says, I'm one God. Father, Son, and Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Before man was ever created, God Almighty had a people. He chose a people. He chose a people out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. And the scripture declares that He marvelously did something. He put them in the Lord Jesus Christ. He elected them. The scripture says, Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him. You say, well, how could God put people in Christ before they were ever created? I don't know. But He said He did. And so therefore, He did. And He put them in Christ. Why? The scripture says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now think about this. Mankind has sinned against God. And we're guilty. We're guilty. Whenever you do something, you kids, when you do something and you're disobedient, you're guilty. And you're under the judgment of whatever your mom and dad said they're going to do. Now here's the thing. God doesn't lie. There's no plea bargain with God. God's going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. So because He everlastingly loved His people, that's what Jeremiah 31:3 says. I've loved you with an everlasting love. My kids, when my kids came into this world, when they were born, I saw them, I loved them. But I had to actually see them first I couldn't. God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the belly, before I made you, I ordained you a prophet. Why? He knew Jeremiah. He's always known all of you. He's God. He put us in Christ. Put us in the safest place we could ever be. In Christ, who is the surety. That means the one that's going to answer for. If you're surety for someone, that means that you've put your name on the dotted line and I'm going to make good on whatever. If you owe something and I become your surety, that means if you can't pay, then I'll pay. I'll be the surety. I'll make sure that the debt's paid. Almighty God knew that we had to have a surety before he ever made us. He knew we were going to fall. God is God. He knew what was going to. So he put us in Christ. And in time, the Lord Jesus Christ, who eternally had agreed, I'm going to answer for this remnant, for those that are chosen. God's elect. God's got an elect. He's got a people. And he's going to save everyone that he's everlastingly loved. And they're all in Christ. And he comes into this world. He comes into this world with this attitude. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I know I'm using my kids as examples a lot this evening, but that's fine. But while they were growing up and they didn't have sense enough to get out of the rain, do you know what my delight was? To take care of them. To provide for them. They couldn't do anything. They were children. They were just children. But my delight was to take care of them. This is the attitude of Almighty God concerning the remnant of his heritage. To save them. The Lord said concerning the calling to this work, to redeem them, to buy them back. Redeem means to pay the price for. He says, my meat, what I feast upon, is to do the will of him that sent me. And to finish the work. Finish the work. What work? What work are you talking about? The work to save all that the Father had given him. This was the work. This was what he's going to do. So he comes in time. He's always been. He's God. He's always been. Before the mountains were formed, he said, I was ever his delight. I came up with him. Our delight was with the sons of men. He came in time and for 33 plus years. The Lord Jesus Christ, with all of his people in him. Brother Scott Richardson, my pastor there in Fairmont, I went and Brother Scott was there for 12 years. And I learned so much just listening to him. Best thing I've told people, best thing for me to do around Brother Scott, just shut up and just listen. Just listen. And he made this statement. He said, wherever God put a man, put a woman, that's where he kept him. That's where he kept him. And here was the security of all this remnant. They fell in Adam. This remnant here, they were in Christ. And he came into this world. And do you know all of his people were in him? That's where God put them. That's where they were. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. What had we done? Well, we rebelled against God. Well, what do we need? I need obedience. But I don't have it. But what did the Lord do? He put us in Christ. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he walked before the Father and obeyed God, do you know that the remnant, according to his heritage, walked before God in perfect obedience? He was the one that was answering for us. And from that time, and I don't know how to speak eternal, so I don't know how to say it eternally, but I don't know how to say eternally. So all I can say is this. From that time that the Lord Jesus entered in to be the surety of the sheep, the Father never looked to the sheep again. He never looked to them again. He looked to the Son. He looked to Christ. And looking to him, and here's my hope right here, William. This is my hope right here. When he looked at him, and I'm in him, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You hear him. He walked before God and obeyed God. I had rebelled against God, but I needed obedience. And I had no place else but in him to get it. But I'm a sinner. Remember my question? How can God be just and punish sin? The one that said, "I will in no wise clear the guilt." I'm not going to clear you. You know what that means? God's going to punish sin. All sin, God's going to punish. And I'm a sinner. What's going to happen to me? Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. And remember, all of that remnant is in him. And he went to the cross. Paul the Apostle said, "When I was crucified with him." When he went to Calvary, guess where all the remnant was? In him. When he laid down his life for the sheep, made what they are, this is what we are. We're sin. We're sin. And he was made what we are. All of the iniquities. Here's the amazing thing. Now, I can't explain all of it, but I can proclaim it. Everything, every rebellion, every sin, every act of iniquity, all of it, he made all of it to be his. That debt is my debt. He said in Psalm 40 verse 12, "Mine iniquities." He didn't say their iniquities. He said, "They're mine. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up." He made himself, David, guilty. Guilty. When he laid down his life, he laid down his life being made the guilty one. And Almighty God spewed out all of the wrath that was due all of the people that he was answering for that were in him. He made himself guilty. And when God Almighty spewed out his wrath, he was spewing out his wrath upon one that was made sin. And God was just. You can say, "Well, he really wasn't guilty." Then God was not just because he killed a man that wasn't really made sin. He was made sin. And he died under the justice of God. And right there, I got just exactly what I deserved in him. If I didn't die in him, I'm going to have to face God. And I don't want to face God without him. I do not want to face God without a representative, without the surety. He died under the judgment of God. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He didn't give up the ghost and then fall down. He bowed his head and then died and gave up the ghost. He was in control of his death. The scripture says that Christ put away the guilt of his people. Now let me ask you this. How are we going to find out about this? How do we know about what I've been talking about? Almighty God sends this gospel. This is good news. What I just told you is good news to a sinner. If you're guilty, we're all guilty, but do you know it? But if he's made you to know the guiltiness of your own self, he calls you one way, the gospel of Christ. This message that sets forth what God Almighty has eternally purposed to do. I'm not offering you anything. This is not an offer. I'm not asking you to exercise your free will because you don't have one. What I'm going to tell you right now is this. God Almighty sends forth this message that I just told you. And he sends it through preachers. This is how God is going to call his people to himself. 2 Thessalonians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13, 14. I love this passage of scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, 14. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. You realize who does the saving here? He's chosen you to salvation. Well, I thought I did the choosing. The Lord said, no, you didn't. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus. Now, knowing what God has said concerning man's state, we're born in trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, we're born in trouble. But Almighty God has purposed to save a people. God has a chosen people that he's going to save. That's what he said. I know the world of false religion doesn't like to hear the word election, but it's in the scriptures. God has declared that he has an elect. And now listen to what the Lord has to say. If all this that's gone forth is found to be my state, if I see myself, I need a Savior. Listen to the word of the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Labor doing what? Trying to reconcile yourself back to God by your good works or self-righteous acts. And by the works of the law, no flesh is going to be justified in his sight. Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, trying to obey the law. I can't obey the law. I have never of myself ever loved the Lord my God with all of my heart. Never. I try to pray, and the next thing I know, my mind is somewhere. Paul, you know. I can't even keep a straight mindset. I get to thinking about stuff. I cannot do anything but sin. I can't do it. I try. I can't do it. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Now, in closing, I got three quick questions for you. How do I come? I know what I heard growing up in false religion. by walking down an aisle. William, you know the only difference between you and me? About 24 feet. That's the only difference. There's nothing down here that's not back there. Come on. How do I come? He said, come unto me. How do I come? Now, this is what Scripture says. By faith. Okay, I've heard that before. What is faith? Here's what the Scripture says. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance. It's the assurance of things hoped for, expected. It's the evidence. It's the proof of things not seen. We have a hope. I have a hope. This is my hope. This is my expectation. This is my confidence, my trust. I want to be with Him. I want the Lord to honor Himself, save this sinner. Right here. Faith is the assurance of that. What assurance do I have that the Lord's done something for me? I can't see anything. I can't. What do you mean come? By faith, I believe God. I believe God. I cast myself upon the mercy of God. This is all I got. But if that's all you got, that's all you need. He said, come unto me. Faith is the evidence that Almighty God will receive me by faith. I believe that. Lord, you said. Lord, you said. If I'd come to you, that you would in no wise cast me out. Lord, I'm coming the only way I know how. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I don't even know how to say it any other way. Lord, have mercy. I come by faith. I come as a needy sinner. I'm like that publican. I don't even have the right to lift my eyes up to heaven. I don't have that right. Lord, would you have mercy? Would you save me, the sinner? Lord, I'm convinced. I come by faith, convinced. You are my only hope. The Lord asked his disciples one day when the multitudes left him. He looked at his disciples and said, will you go away also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you're the Christ. How do we come? By faith. We come convinced. We come as a sinner. We come continually. I've heard people say, I came to the Lord years ago. I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you how a sinner comes. He that cometh. What does that mean? I'm coming right now. Lord, I need you right now. Well, I was saved back when I was 17 years old. Is the Lord saving me right now? This is all I got right now. And I come willingly. The word willingly, it means spontaneously. I want to come right now. Whenever the Lord walked past Matthew and he said, follow me. You know what Matthew did? He got up, left his stuff right there, and followed him. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today I must abide at your house. Andrew, Peter, you follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They left those nets and their daddy and that boat right there, and they followed him. Who are we coming to? We're coming to God. I'm not coming to the front. I'm not coming to the altar. Christ is our altar. I'm coming to God, Almighty God. And is there a safer place? Where else are you going to go? You can come talk to Gabe if you want to. I'd advise you to do that, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what Gabe's going to do? He's going to point you to the Messiah, the Christ. I can't do anything for you, but I can tell you somebody that can. Except, the Scripture says, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What does that mean? I've heard that Scripture before. Except you look to me, eating my flesh, the life that I've lived in obedience. Except that be your righteousness, and drink my blood, except you believe that I died for you. My blood covers you. Whosoever eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. And here's the last question. What has he promised? This is what he said. Come unto me, all you that are labored, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest from trying to establish righteousness by you doing something. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to do anything for God. Almighty God will accept only that which he provides. And I can't do it, but he can. You come to me. It's a spiritual, it's a rest of the heart, rest of the soul. That's what he said. I'll give you rest unto your souls. There is rest. There's peace. There's comfort to those that come to him. May the Lord be pleased to bless these words to his honor and his glory and his praise and to good of the remnant of his heritage. His namesake.